Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at Graymere Church of Christ.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us for our Sunday evening sermon time. We're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 2. And I'd like to start off by reading just a few verses in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority, or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. I think most of us that are listening to this tonight are American citizens. I'm proud to be an American citizen, and I do, in fact, love my country. It was because of my love for my country that I served my country in the military about 15 years ago, and went overseas, did a lot of different things, and I'm sure you've heard different stories and stuff that I've told, especially in the previous weeks. But that's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful thing to have that kind of pride and patriotism in the place where we live, the place where we call home on this earth. But let me ask you a question as we begin our study this evening. What if circumstances changed? What if circumstances change so dramatically that the country that we all live in no longer was represented by the Stars and Stripes? How would that change our love for God? Would that change our love for God? I ask this question because I think you're a little bit like me, that sometimes you have difficulty separating politics from Christianity. The lines between the two become blurry. People ask radical questions, such as how can anyone be a Christian and be a member of that political party? Or how can you obey Jesus' commands about serving the poor and be a member of that political party? It's almost as if we've interpreted the line in the Pledge of Allegiance, one nation under God, to mean God ordained this nation to be His, and it's our job to keep it that way. Fact is, all nations belong to God, whether they recognize Him or not, and it's our job to teach all nations. So as we approach what is sure to be a very interesting political season, we've already been in this political season for a while, the election's coming up in just a few weeks. I wanted to talk very briefly about our faith and our politics. One of the positive and sometimes negative effects for a Christian's love for country is his involvement in the political process. And Christians should certainly be involved in the political process. We cannot remove ourselves from that just because we say we are Christians. But to what extent should we involve ourselves? That's the question. What should our involvement look like? Most of us have read or heard statements from Christians who kind of have disdain for those who disagree with them politically. Is this what a Christian's involvement in politics looks like? How can we find proper balance between politics and seeking first the kingdom of God? So when we think about that, let's think about the people that Peter was writing to here in the book of 1 Peter. Now, who was under the rule? What was happening here? Who was in charge? Well, we've talked about it before in our First Peter series, and that was Nero. Nero was the emperor, and they certainly didn't vote for Nero. Nero was an immoral, unethical, and as we've previously noted in previous lessons here in this series of 1 Peter, he hated Christians. And it would be safe to assume that they didn't agree, the people that Peter is talking to didn't agree with his politics either. And so Peter what does Peter do? He tells them that they need to get on Facebook and they need to talk about how horrible a leader he is, because it's not the truth. I mean, it's absolutely the truth. It's not wrong. He's a horrible leader. So you need to get on Facebook and you need to say exactly how horrible he is. No, Peter doesn't tell them to do that. In fact, on the contrary, he tells them here in this verse that we just read, verses 13 and 14 of 1 Peter 2, to honor the king. Now, why in the world would he do that? It doesn't seem to make any sense on the surface. Until you think about government. And you think about the structure of government, the idea of government. Government was God's idea. Now, let me clarify that here for just a second. Peter here in chapter 2 implores them to submit to kings and governors because government is the will of God. This does not mean that God chose all leaders according to his will. Certainly God was not in favor of the rule of Nero here in 1 Peter, what the first century Christians were dealing with. He wasn't a fan of Hitler's rule either. He would not have condoned that or said that that was the will of God. He did not condone Saddam Hussein's rule of Iraq, using people as human shields and governing as a dictator there for many, many years. They were doing immoral and unethical things. What it means is the idea of governing authority was God's. According to Peter, the purpose of government was what? In this scripture, go ahead and look back at it, chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. What does he say? The purpose of government was for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. Interesting. He echoes Paul's words here in Romans 13. He certainly probably would have read those. And that teaches, in Romans 13, teaches, Paul taught that the purpose of government is to hold the people accountable for right and wrong. We are to be subject to the governing authorities. Peter calls his readers to be subject to a government that is dedicated here to Christianity's demise. Now you think about that for a second. Think about the awful things we hear about maybe opposing political parties doing today. The awful things that they say that need to be put into law. Now you think about a government that one of the primary tent poles of that government was to eradicate Christianity 2,000 years ago. Peter tells them to honor those people, to love their enemies. Why in the world would he do that? Paul, back in Romans chapter 13, and again, you read that and it's very, very technical, very in-depth of what Paul is saying, but specifically in verses 1 and 2 of Romans 13, he says, every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those who exist, which exist, are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. Governing authorities, it says right there, have been appointed by God. Therefore, to resist government means to resist God himself. That's an extreme way of saying it, but that's essentially what it says. Peter adds two good reasons here. He adds two good reasons for us to submit to governing authority. First and foremost, he says this is the will of God. This alone is enough reason for us to comply with it. This is enough a reason for us to be in submission to God and when he calls us to do those things. Yet Peter gives us another reason, just to kind of reinforce it here. He gives us another reason. He says to be subject to the government, that by doing right, 1 Peter 2:15 here, that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. I love that phrase. Because if their allegiance is to a heavenly king, Christians here are falsely accused. Falsely accused of sedition or treason. You can look at Acts chapter 17. Verses 5 through 8 on that. Peter is saying here that by continuing to do good in the face of a corrupt government, Christians can silence those ignorant charges. Now listen to this next phrase very carefully. If Christians are viewed as constantly complaining about the government, how does that appear to the outside world? It might appear as if we're more passionate about the kingdom of the United States than about the kingdom of heaven. Peter is calling us to be subject to authority because in doing so, we speak volumes about our faith, being in God rather than in men. And when we think about that, we are free people. The people who Peter wrote this to were certainly not free people as the world was concerned. The freedom of which Peter speaks is what? Freedom in Christ. How much more meaning should this scripture have to those who are free in Christ? We are a free people. Not only are we free in Christ, but today we live in a land of freedom. Those freedoms should never be an excuse to live the American dream life we want, but should be a motivation for us to live the kind of life God wants us to live. A life that honors all people, that loves the brotherhood, that fears God and honors the King. Now, having said all of this, there is an exception to every rule. Almost every rule, there is an exception. There is an exception to our subjection to the government. And when it's not whether the government is oppressive or obstinate or imposing things upon us that we don't like or don't want. That's just not it. The Christians that were living in 1 Peter here, they were certainly dealing with oppressive and obstinate and imposing things, immoral things. They were certainly dealing with that. But consider this government conditions at the time. The government was totalitarian. It meant that under Nero's control, it was evil and tyrannical. He was the emperor. Nero's reign, Christians suffered greatly. And it wasn't just a physical kind of suffering. It was also a political kind and a familial kind of suffering as well. And under Nero's reign, Paul and Peter were eventually martyred. And so the exception is not government oppression. Rather, the exception is that we must obey God rather than man. When the government tries to force us to disobey God, when the government tries to force us to actively go against what is being taught, we must disobey the government. But in doing this, we should be cautious that what we are upholding is God's standard and not our own. It's a very important distinction to make. So as we kind of conclude this lesson, I asked at the outset, and I asked the question at the beginning, what if circumstances changed and the country that we live in was no longer represented by the stars and stripes? Would that in any way change your love for God? The reason most of us are involved in politics is because we are trying to control certain circumstances. We feel like voting in particular will make our lives better and will possibly make our children's lives better. And those are certainly not bad aspirations to have at all. Voting can certainly make a difference. But when you think about it, we are ultimately not in control of our circumstances. So I ask the question again, what if our circumstances changed? Many circumstances we face on which we vote on are beyond our control. Gas prices, taxes, immoral legislation, war are circumstances that are largely beyond our control. Peter was talking to a group of people whose circumstances were not just out of their control. They didn't have the right to vote. They didn't have the right to be represented in their government. And it was completely out of their control. And his advice to them was to not try to control it, but to glorify God through it. Think about that for a minute. If you suddenly traded places with one of Peter's readers here, under Nero's control, what would your faith look like? If you suddenly traded places with a Christian living in an ISIS-controlled country, what would your faith look like? If you suddenly traded places with a person living in Soviet Russia 25, 35 years ago, what would your faith look like? Peter's words have been used here to discourage Christians from being involved in the political process. That's just not the case. It's not even the context here for Peter, because in his time, there was no political process. Christians absolutely should be involved in the political process. It is part of being salt and light. But we should never let our politics or our patriotism define who we are as Christians. Rather, Christianity should define who we are as Americans. Christianity should define who we are no matter the circumstance. Thank you for joining us this evening.